In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. For the past few Sundays, our gospel readings have been taken from the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And a theme that runs through several of these stories, basically runs through all of the stories in chapter 8, is the theme of the authority of Jesus, his authority. And through the several stories in chapter 8, we see his authority on display in a variety of ways. In his encounter with the centurion, we are told that the centurion recognizes that, like himself, Jesus is a man under authority. And that he has the rightful authority, says the centurion, just like himself. Jesus has the rightful authority to issue commands and to be obeyed. He has a kind of, in this case, political or even military power or authority over men. We see that kind of authority. We see other kinds of authority. In chapter 8, we also see that our Lord has authority over nature. Throughout the chapter, almost continuously, he is healing diseases. And in one of the most startling stories in Scripture, we discover that Jesus even has authority over the winds and the waves of the stormy sea. When he and his disciples are caught in a boat during a great storm on the sea, Scripture says that he rebukes the wind. He talks it back. And that there's a great calm. And this caused his disciples to wonder, what manner of man is this? And of course, we learned last week that Jesus has authority over demons as well. In the story of the Gadarene swine, we are told that even the forces of darkness are subject to his command. He can cast them into the abyss. He can even cast them into a herd of swine. But we learn through all of these stories in chapter 8, we learn a very important lesson. These stories in which the authority of Jesus is on full display in so very many ways, they tell us something important. We learn that these stories don't really convince very many people of very much at all. It's an impressive chapter. You have pigs flying off of cliffs, right? The voices of demons are begging Jesus not to cast them into the abyss. Jesus is honored by a Roman soldier as a man of authority. He heals by touching. He heals over great distances simply by speaking a word, and he controls the weather. All of this authority over men and over nature and over demons, the people still did not understand. Still they questioned in their hearts, what manner of man is this? Or even worse, in the case of the Gadarene swine, the locals who see all of this take place, who see the bodies of the dead pigs floating in the water, they decide that they don't want any part of it. Scripture says that they begged Jesus to depart. This morning we literally start a new chapter. Our reading this morning is taken from the start of the next chapter in Matthew, chapter 9. And once again the theme is authority. But there's a difference. In the first verse of chapter 9, we are told that our Lord, he gets into a boat and he crosses the sea and he comes home. He enters once again into his own city. Today, in other words, we are given a picture of life in the Lord's kingdom. And if there is any place in which the Lord's true authority ought to be on display, it should be right there in Capernaum, right there in the Lord's own city. We heard the story. We were told that when he comes home, he is greeted by a group of friends who bring to him their friend who is paralyzed. Jesus is so moved by the faith of the friends that he turns to the paralyzed man and he says, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." We are told that a group of scribes who are sitting nearby, they take offense and they grumble that Jesus has no authority to do these things. "This is blasphemy," they say. Knowing that they speak evil against him in their hearts, he turns to the scribes and he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he says to the paralytic, "Take up your bed, rise, and go home." And Scripture reports that he rose and he went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. And so here in his own city, where he's supposed to be, we discover that the kind of authority that makes Jesus Lord within his own city, and of course the kind of authority that makes him Lord within our own lives, it is not the authority to do all of those impressive, kind of high-powered, Hollywood-style miracles in chapter 8. What makes Jesus Lord is his authority to grant forgiveness and healing to a human soul that is weighed down, literally paralyzed, with the dead weight of darkness and sinfulness. And this is the heart of the gospel message that runs through this story and runs out into the rest of the New Testament. True authority is not about power. God is God not because he is capable of forcing us to obey his will or because he is able to move the world around like pieces on a chessboard. We do not worship God because he is capable of hurting us. God is God because he is the only one capable in love of taking care of us. Divine authority is not power. Authority, God's authority over us, is something that is closely connected to his love for us. Jesus, we are told, is moved by the faith of those friends, and in compassion, he grants healing of soul and body. And the source of this kind of authority is not power. Jesus is moved by his care and concern, and the source of the authority to grant forgiveness of sins is always love. This connection between real authority, and love is present elsewhere in the Bible. Think about that fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and mother, ... Please read the rest. That your days may be long in the land which the Lord God gives you. Honor your parents. Listen to them because they love you. Think about those passages in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul where the husband is granted authority over his wife. Ephesians 5 or Colossians 3. We even read Ephesians 5 at the Orthodox wedding service. We hear those words, and for some it makes us cringe, right? Wives, be submissive to your husbands. We're tempted to read it in Slavonic or Greek rather than in English at the wedding ceremony. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. ... Please read the rest. Husbands, you must love your wives. In the same way, St. Paul writes that Christ loved and even gave himself up for the church. Regardless of what you think about that, it is undeniable that there is a connection between true authority and selfless love. And you can't have one without the other. And here's why. When you truly love somebody, then you also become, in a very real way, responsible for them. You can't love someone in the abstract. You can't love someone with your words only. When you love someone, their welfare and their well-being, they become more important to you than your own life. True love makes you accountable for them. This is true of parents. This is true of those who are married. And this is certainly true of God. Our God has authority over us because he loves us, period. And that love has no beginning and no end. It never changes and it has no limit. He has authority because he is responsible for us. He is the one who in love has taken responsibility for our salvation. And for this reason, he has authority. And he is someone that we must listen to. Orthodox Christians are sometimes viewed with suspicion by other Americans who are not Orthodox. I hope this is not a surprise to you. Others may look at us and think that we are so backwards and so old-fashioned. Yes, we really believe that some people do have authority over others, just as Jesus and his apostles say, but that's because we also believe that each of us is also responsible and accountable in love for those around us. If you want to find out who you should listen to, first find out who loves you. Those are the ones who are worth honoring. Those are the ones with authority. Authority is responsibility. It is not power. A husband has authority over his wife. He does not have power over his wife. When there is no love for the wife, there is no authority. It's gone. Bishops have authority over us in the Orthodox Christian Church. And priests, as the servants of bishops, have authority in the church, not because the church grants us the power to impose our will onto others. Bishops and priests are not kings in a castle. Bishops and priests have authority because they love the sheep who are in their flock, because they are accountable and responsible for them. That's why bishops and priests teach and preach and hear confessions. That's why they challenge and comfort and celebrate. That's why they pray and serve the liturgies. A priest who only wants power, who only wants his way, is not a priest. A priest who has forgotten that he is accountable for the lives of the faithful is a priest only on the surface. A priest in a parish is like a parent in a family. Both priests and parents know that loving your children means that you are accountable for them. You are responsible for making the decisions under your control. Not everything's under your control. Those decisions that can bring them, the ones you love, more and more deeply into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, our Lord has authority over us. The Bible says it again and again. He is someone we should listen to. That's what authority means. We should listen to him because he loves us and because he takes personal responsibility for our salvation in a way that we can't fully understand. It's not about power. He is not a spiritual terrorist who is trying to scare us into better behavior. He is a Lord who takes very seriously the business of providing what we need to move more and more deeply into the life of the kingdom. And as the Apostle Peter declares in St. John's Gospel, Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. May we listen to him. Amen.